From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. The Summit of the Americas officially opened Friday in Panama City, Panama, and even before it began, it became clear that serious disagreements between the U.S. and the countries of Latin America and the Caribbean would forestall any serious work from being accomplished. The parties apparently will not even be able to produce a final document that they agree on. We begin this special coverage of the 7th Summit of the Americas with this report from Telesur's Cody Weddle.
The opening ceremony isn't until this Friday evening, but leaders from across the continent have been arriving in Panama for what promises to be one of the most remarkable summits of the Americas really ever. Cuban President Raul Castro touched down overnight. This is the first time Cuba is taking part in a meeting organized by the OAS since it was expelled from the regional body of the United States in 1962. But the run-up to the summit has been marked by sharp disagreements between the majority of Latin American countries and Washington over U.S. interference in Venezuela and a list of other issues. As a result, foreign ministers have been unable to agree on the text of a final declaration.
There will be no final document from the summit, but President Varela of Panama will pass on to the Secretariat of the OAS all the points on which there is agreement so that it can be circulated.
Before his arrival in Panama, President Obama seemed to want to calm the tensions with Latin America. He told the Spanish news agency EFE that the United States did not regard Venezuela as a threat, and nor was the United States a threat to Venezuela. These comments are in stark contrast with the language of the executive order that Obama sent to Congress last month in order to justify sanctions against Venezuelan officials. That classified Venezuela as an extraordinary threat to the United States' security and foreign policy. Over 13 million signatures against that executive order are due to be delivered to President Obama during the summit in Panama. On Thursday, hundreds of Venezuelans marched to the Miraflores Presidential Palace in Caracas to deliver the 10,400,000 signatures collected in Venezuela. Using the slogan, Venezuela is not a threat, Venezuela is hope. This is believed to be one of the biggest petition campaigns ever. The boxes were handed to President Maduro and the Bolivian leader, Evo Morales.
President Obama departed for the summit from Jamaica, where he had arrived earlier this week to meet with members of the Caribbean Community of Nations, or CARICOM, in a reported attempt to isolate Venezuela's socialist government. But as Telesur's Allison Kintish reports from St. Lucia, the president's message was a hard sell.
We see concerns.
Over the past few days, regional and international media have speculated that Obama might be seeking to offer the regional bloc an alternative to the highly concessionary Venezuelan oil as part of his ongoing offensive against Venezuela. Many CARICOM states are part of the Bolivarian Alliance for the Peoples of America's ALBA and the Petro-Caribe Initiative. Those heads of government have expressed support for the alliance. St. Lucia's foreign affairs minister says CARICOM plays an important balancing role in the hemisphere, and the bloc will be hoping to pursue a reduction of tension to reduce the conflict.
We will always, always pursue that consistent course of trying to reduce conflict in the hemisphere, because our interests will never be serving conflict. Right now, we cooperate with Venezuela to deal with our economic challenges. Venezuela has been a good friend of St. Lucia from even before independence.
The meeting follows recent backpedaling by the United States on Venezuela. The U.S. has expressed disappointment that almost the entire Latin American and Caribbean region has stood behind Venezuela after Obama declared the country a threat to U.S. security, and the White House is now stating that it does not believe Venezuela poses a threat. Allison Kentish, Telesur, St. Lucia.
One item that was scheduled to come up for discussion was the dispute that is brewing over recent oil discoveries near the Malvinas Islands off the coast of Argentina. The Malvinas were the scene of a war between Argentina and the United Kingdom in 1982. The UK, which refers to the islands as the Falklands, has claimed rights to the recently discovered oil there. That claim is now headed to court as Buenos Aires is taking legal action against three British and two U.S. companies carrying out exploration activities for fossil fuels without obtaining authorization from Buenos Aires. The court case came after Argentina summoned the British ambassador over revelations that London had carried out a long-term and far-reaching espionage program in Argentina. In response, Britain said it had summoned the Argentine ambassador to deliver its own complaints. The long-standing animosity between the two sides has re-intensified in recent years with the discovery of significant oil deposits off the island's coast. Isaac Biggio is an international analyst from the London School of Economic and Political Sciences with a specialization in Latin American affairs. He spoke with Press TV via Skype from London Friday.
Well, first of all, the Argentinian ambassador has gone to Buenos Aires. In Buenos Aires, there is a lot of complaints that Britain has been spying them, and that now Britain is breaking UN resolution because they are taking unilateral action with the exploration of oil. Five British and US companies are exploring oil. So I think that there's going to be a lot of diplomatic clashes. We are also having the UK election on the 7th of May. Argentina have general election at the end of the year. So we are going to have a lot of diplomatic clashes. I don't think there is going to be a military action. There is not going to be a war because Britain is quite well prepared there. They have nuclear submarines around the area. So I don't think this is going to have a military aspect, but there's going to be an escalation of diplomatic frictions.
Right, Mr. Biggio, as diplomatic tensions continue to heighten between Argentina and Britain, one has to wonder whether the issue of the Malvinas Islands will ever be resolved.
Well, I think sooner or later it has to be resolved. Argentina, Britain took the Malvinas from Argentina at the same time that it took Hong Kong from China. But, you know, Hong Kong was returned to China under some conditions, despite that there are 7 million people living there. And I think that sooner or later, Malvinas should be given back to Argentina, despite that there are only 3,000 British settlers there. So I think that sooner or later, Britain has to return Malvinas to Argentina and having a compromise in this issue.
Bolivia's socialist president, Evo Morales, was set to be the only head of state to address the assembled Summit of the Americas, and he used the occasion to say it was Washington that poses a threat to the national security of the rest of the nations of the hemisphere. He said regional initiatives such as UNASUR and CELAC, aimed at promoting Latin American solidarity and integration, are the region's best defenses against U.S. imperialism. He said that CELAC may be, quote, a threat to the neoliberal transnational corporations, but it will never be a threat to U.S. security, closed quote. For more, we go to our reporter from south of the border, Tony Solo, reporting from Managua, Nicaragua.
I was remiss last week because for some reason I thought the summit was further away and I didn't realize it was, I hadn't got myself up to speed that it was going to happen just a week after we spoke last Friday. So yeah, and it's the main background to the summit, it clearly is the development of the relations that the United States has decided to open up with Cuba, and the very maladroit way in which Barack Obama and his colleagues have managed their relations with Venezuela is kind of blown up in their faces to some extent. And that's kind of the main background that most people observing the summit over the next couple of days are going to be focusing on. But there's a whole range of other things that the summit will be dealing with. I mean, one of the things that
Before we go there, there's something, because there's some things that happened. They had the social forums, I guess, starting Wednesday.
Yeah,
and if people heard from the top, if they heard the news at the beginning of the program, and didn't know before, the Organization of American States is more or less the sponsor of the Summit of the Americas, and that's the U.S. creature, that's the multinational grouping in this hemisphere. And now that Cuba has, which was kicked out in 1962,
is being welcomed back in. This whole, you know, warming is being touted. But there were all these games that were played right there where they expelled the social organizations from Cuba and they invited in the Miami Cubans, basically, as Cubans, stuff like that.
Yeah, and that there's all that background that contributes to the general kind of, and I think, and the last summit of the Americas held in Cartagena was a failure in many ways because, for example, because he wasn't he didn't want to attend a summit that Cuba in which Cuba wasn't present.
Right.
So what the events that you referred to in relation to the what was called the civil society summit in Panama over the last couple of days,
right.
and I think that goes to show that it's the last dregs, if you like, of although the U.S. influence is likely to continue to kind of have its effect, it's like the kicks of a drowning person, you know. The United States can't control things anymore. It can't kind of shut down the Latin American and Caribbean's feelings about the relevance of the unquestionable relevance and contribution of Cuba to Latin American and Caribbean politics and economics and cultural life. And as it has tried to do with this, its cruel and sadistic sanctions, genocidal sanctions of the last almost 55 years now.
That's right.
And similarly, that what Barack Obama is likely to find at the summit is that he can't just issue a decree saying that Venezuela's a threat to the United States and leaving himself open various options in order to ratchet up the pressure on the legitimately elected government of Venezuela, because what's going to happen at this summit is that certainly the ALBA block of countries, that's Bolivia, Cuba, Ecuador, Nicaragua, Venezuela, and backed up by their Caribbean partners and also by countries like Argentina, they're going to insist that Barack Obama face up to the fact that his recent decree in attacking Venezuela on completely spurious human rights grounds that he doesn't apply to countries like Mexico, for example.
Or the United States, for that matter.
Or the United States, where you just had that yet another disgraceful murder of an innocent a black man by a completely out-of-control police force. And that's, you know, and all those contradictions are going to come up in this summit.
Yeah,
but
no,
what I was going to say,
yeah.
Before you raised that issue of the way the United States, through its organization of the American States puppet organization, has tried to manipulate the proceedings of in the run up to the summit. There are various other things that are going to kind of impinge on the summit. One of them is the Malvinas, of course,
yep.
Where Argentina has recently denounced the fact that the UK government has been spying on the Argentinian government, and the UK government completely ignoring a string of resolutions in regional organizations and even resolutions in the United Nations, unless I'm mistaken. Is proceeding as though it has every right to take control of hydrocarbon gas and oil resources that recent exploration activities have indicated may exist in the area around the Malvinas, which the UK government calls the Falklands, and there's that. That is almost certainly going to crop up in the summit,
yep.
And also our president here, Daniel Ortega. I think he's already arrived in Panama, but he at a recent event in the community of Latin American and Caribbean states permitted the Puerto Rican representative Berrios to to speak under the patronage, as it were, of Nicaragua's seat at that CELAC summit.
Right,
and Daniel Ortega is going to try and introduce the issue of Puerto Rico's colonial status and what an anomaly that is in the 21st century in Latin America and the Caribbean.
Yep.
The summit is largely going to be another milestone in the development of Latin American autonomy, the autonomy of its institutions, like the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States, like the Union of South American States. And this year, the Bank of the South has finally got set up. And that's another indication, along with the shifting out of the Western Hemisphere, along with the Chinese Asian Development Bank. I know, I've forgotten what its acronym is, BAII. I think it's the Asian Investment and Infrastructure Bank, something like that.
The Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank in English, yeah.
You know, that, and so there's this Summit of the Americas is part of something global. It's a global process whereby the United States is steadily losing influence, prestige, and status and control. And this summit is going to be another landmark event that demonstrates that.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I'm looking forward to, just in terms of entertainment value, is when President Maduro from Venezuela presents President Obama with first the petitions from Venezuelan people. The last count I saw, I know they were going for 10 million. It was at 9 million, like, on Tuesday. And that's just from Venezuela, which has a population, by the way, of about 29 million people. So it's about a third of every man, woman, and child in the country already signed a petition in like a week and a half.
Yeah, and that's usually the number of people that vote in Venezuela.
So there you go. And the petition demanding that he withdraw the characterization of Venezuela as a threat to national security. And apparently there was some backstepping by the administration, the U.S. administration, on that the other day that was reported to Telesur.
Well, yeah, and Nicolas Maduro, and I think himself, the Venezuelan president, announced that it was a victory for Venezuela, that Barack Obama had actually conceded in public, in public remarks that he made, that Venezuela is not a state, a threat to the United States. But he immediately followed that up with the ridiculous assertion that nor is the United States a threat to Venezuela, which is completely counterfactual, of course.
Right.
So, but what that means is that Barack Obama is having to respond, even publicly, to the embarrassing fact that not just most people in Venezuela, but the overwhelming opinions throughout Latin America and the Caribbean, is that it was a crass mistake on his part to emit that decree attacking Venezuela because it opened that decree, and I saw an interview between Noam Chomsky and Ignacio Ramonet, two people of whom I don't have a very high opinion in terms of their current understanding of what's going on in the region. Chomsky tried to play down the decree, saying that the wording that Venezuela constitutes an unusual present threat to the United States was simply a kind of form of words that was attached to this measure that Barack Obama opened up. And that indicates to me that Chomsky is out of touch with the reality of what's going on. And it may be just a form of words in technical terms, but it actually constitutes a gross intrusion into the current attempts by Latin America and the Caribbean to free themselves from the domination and the historic domination of the United States. And it's interesting to, and I find it fascinating talking to young people from the States to discover how little they know about events in Latin America and the Caribbean, And that most young people under say, I don't know, let's take an age, say 30 in the United States, know next to nothing about the history of the United States in Latin America and the Caribbean. I was talking to a young woman who's coming down here to do a research project in northern Nicaragua the other day, and I was struck to discover that she didn't even know what the cooperative movement was.
They don't. But here, people don't know their own history in the United States too. That's another problem. And that
makes it all the more difficult for the most people in the United States to understand the significance of what's happening in Panama this weekend.
That's right. It's true. I'm wondering if there's anyone in the U.S. government that really actually does understand, though, because you have on the one hand this new reality that's coming into being. Here and there you have what look like almost public relations flourishes that kind of are a fop to that concept, like the recognition of Cuba and the current negotiations over the recognition of Cuba and the tacit support for the peace process in Colombia. These are unusual for the United States that normally takes a hard line, but immediately below the surface, you see these kind of the kind of games that they play over the social forums, for example. The only American people aren't even going to know that, except maybe some folks in Miami who got the bus fare or plane fare to Panama City. But the people in the region do know, and it's offensive to them.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting, isn't it, the way that the United States seems to think that it can just erase history and that people will somehow forgive and forget. Well, and they won't. You know, the fact that Felix Rodriguez, the murderer of Che Guevara, was present in that civil society forum just says volumes about the insensitivity both of the United States government and the Organization of American States to what, as you said, to this new emerging reality that it's just not going to stop. I mean, the United States is perhaps for the first time at this summit is going to have to deal with Latin American and Caribbean nations as equals, because they're just not going to take any nonsense from the United States, either with regard to Cuba, because the one of the strong demands at this summit will be that the United States has gone some way to rectifying its historic humanitarian crimes against Cuba, but it must lift the sanctions. It must lift the sanctions that it maintains in place against Cuba.
Yep.
I don't think it will, and not certainly not this year, and perhaps not next year, but in the next couple of years, the United States is just going to have to lift the sanctions against Cuba because they're so counterproductive. And it's becoming more and more counterproductive for the United States to maintain that sanctions regime against the Cuban government, because as the influence of China and Russia and other southern nations, perhaps we shouldn't use the term majority world nations, perhaps is the better term.
Yeah, right.
Becomes more effective and takes on more and more of the economic power that the majority world is developing. And the United States is simply going to have to change its policy. Unless it resorts to outright military aggression, which is in the current context, it's completely unthinkable and something that they probably come to regret very quickly.
Well, you understand at least the political and sociological genesis of a concept like what they call it, total spectrum domination, where it comes from. Because it's the model; it's the only model that allows them to maintain their power in the face of a rising the majority, formerly known as the global South.
and that isn't to say that there isn't a continuing ideological battle within Latin America and the Caribbean between the neoliberal ideas, the Washington consensus ideas that have dominated affairs, certainly economic affairs in the region since the late 1980s, and ever since the Caracaso, the dreadful events in Venezuela when something like 3,000 people were killed under the then Venezuelan government for protesting against International Monetary Fund imposed measures. Right. And another thing from that time, 1989, is of course very poignant in Panama, the invasion of Panama then under George Bush the
First. That's right. Yeah.
And in which also a similar number of about 3,000 people were killed by U.S. military action, mainly bombing.
You know, you mentioned before, that, for example, that there's still some, ideological competition in the region with neoliberalism. And if you think about it, if you had actual, self-conscious management of the economies there or anywhere else, you have a boardroom where people are kicking everything around, given the track record of neoliberalism and given the general impact that it has on the majority of the people. You have a guy in the boardroom with you. You have one guy and he's off in the corner. You let him, play with toys or whatever. And if you can't figure out a solution any other way, then you say, hey, come here, can we brainstorm with you for a minute? That's the relationship that they should have with neoliberalism, if any. But the U.S. still seems hell-bent on trying to impose whatever model suits corporations in the U.S. and EU, and they completely are in denial of the economic, political, and social realities.
Yeah, and one of the things that is likely to be quite interesting about the summit is precisely that economic issue, because in theory the summit's pitched as a forum to talk about development cooperation and economic development. But we'll see what happens about that. But the unquestionable phenomenon in Latin America is that socialist-inspired policies have led countries like Bolivia and Nicaragua to be in the forefront of current development trends and economic growth trends in the region. Now, CEPAL, which is a United Nations organization does policy recommendations and policy analysis on economics for Latin America and the Caribbean, and they said during the week that Bolivia and Nicaragua are going to be among the countries that are leading growth. They're projected to have growth of around 5% through 2015. And so what does that mean? That means that you have the authoritative United Nations body saying that two countries that are leading members of ALBA are going to be in the forefront of economic growth in Latin America this year.
The new political order is as much the brainchild of the late Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez as of anyone. And on that note, and marking the 7th Summit of the Americas this weekend, we go out with this.
Viva Venezuela, mi patria querida. Quien la libertó, mi hermano, fue Simón Bolívar. Viva Venezuela, mi patria querida. Quien la libertó, mi hermano, fue Simón Bolívar.
Viva Venezuela, mi patria querida. Quien la libertó, mi hermano, fue Simón Bolívar. Viva Venezuela, mi patria querida. Quien la libertó, mi hermano, fue Simón Bolívar.
Bolívar, cuando era niño, tuvo un sueño promisor de ser, cuando fuera grande, el padre libertador. Bolívar, cuando era niño, tuvo un sueño promisor de ser, cuando fuera grande, el padre libertador.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.